Excellent. Why don't you just say hello to somebody on the way down, wherever you are?
Hello.
We've been to quite a few services, and often the speaker will say, why don't you turn round and say hello to the person behind you? Well, obviously, we're all in rows. It doesn't work, does it? Everybody turns round, and it's hopeless. Anyway. Anyway, welcome. It is great to be back. And it is actually a little surreal to be back, if I'm really honest, after being away for so long. It's great to have Lancaster and the guys there in North Preston online as well, and those guys who are online who are watching for various reasons there as well. It's great to have you all. I want to say a massive warm welcome. I was met on the door of the auditorium by a young man called Samuel, and he said, hello, nice to meet you. Have you had a good week? And it didn't take me long to figure out he had no idea who I was at all. And I was chuffed a bit that this young man has come this last few weeks and he said, look, I love Jesus. Can I serve in the church? And he's there on the door greeting his senior pastor. He has no idea who he is at all. Isn't that amazing? And so well done, everybody, for all your hard work over summer. I know some have been working incredibly hard. And I just want to thank one or two people. I want to thank everybody. Well, firstly, thank you for letting us go for so long. And I'm going to try and answer a few questions. It's amazing when you get back, everybody asks the same questions. So I thought this message, I will try and answer the questions that everybody's going to ask. And then you can always ask them more, but at least I've done all the basics. Do you know when you kind of go to a new place, you need like a thing on your front with all the answers of all the questions? That's the kind of the idea. But thank you first. Thanks to Dave and Mel for looking after the church. Let's give them a big hand everywhere for all their hard work. I want to thank as well the trustees. The trustees don't always get thanked, but I know you've had a busy one or two different things to do over summer. So I want to say thank you very much for the trustees who are in the room and the various rooms. Thank you for those. And for the service pastors and the staff team, we've also worked incredibly hard. Thank you so much. And, it's always good. It's one of the blessings from all of you that you give to Michelle and I, that when we go away, we just know church will be okay. You know, we never worry when we go away. We know it's going to be in good hands. Everybody's going to be kind of stuck in and doing the thing. So it is a privilege and a blessing to both be part of this church and to lead it. So thank you. Thank you very, very much for that. I just want to say, I'm only going to share a little bit this morning. I haven't spoken for 9 weeks, right? And so I have lots of things to say. But I've been advised over the years to keep it shorter rather than longer. In fact, my father, who might be in North Preston, used to say, always leave them wanting more. So the plan is to leave you wanting more. And for me to say, over the next few weeks, few months, whatever, if you want to come and grab me and unpack anything, then please do. Don't be a stranger to Michelle and I. We would love to talk with each and every one of you. Well, before I begin, I'll pray, and then I'm going to try and answer three questions this morning that most of you might have. Father, I want to thank you that you are here. Father, I thank you that you love us and you sent your son to die for us. And Father, I pray that as we come and meet together, that we may fully give ourselves to you, that we may open ourselves up to you, that you may speak to us, inspire us and comfort us. Father, you may challenge us, make course corrections in our life that we may live a better life, a more holy life, a more productive life, a life that worship you and honors you more. Father, I pray. And Father, I pray as I preach, help me after all these weeks not doing it to do a good job, Father. And Father, I pray you'd use me, use my voice for your glory. And Father, we pray, all of us who know you, if there's any who hear these words of mine, who've been part of our services, who don't know you or who are far from you, Father, call them home. May they know there's a God who loves them, who passionately wants a relationship with them, who, if they choose, if they want, has prepared a place in heaven for them, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you may speak to them and they may open their hearts and lives up to you as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Question number one. I've been asked this a lot. What did you do And I know it's a practical question, but you're all nosy, right? Every single one of you is nosy. So what did you do? You've been away a long time. What did you do? So I'm going to give you a very brief outline of that and a few highlights. There's a few hellos to say as well as we go along. We actually finished work on the Monday. We jumped on an aeroplane Monday night because we like getting on with it. Flew down to London and then flew off to Malaysia on the Tuesday night and landed in Malaysia on Wednesday morning. Didn't lose our luggage, and we'll come back to that because that's an important comment further down the track. We actually went to see a couple of C3 pastors, some of the Hope City guys, for those of you who've been around a while, called Pastors Joel and Emma Burden. They run C3 Kuala Lumpur, and we've been to see them before. They've got the Twin Towers there and all that kind of stuff. And we went to preach for, well, I preached, and Michelle and I did a marriage seminar there. Emma and Joel want to say hello. They've not been for a long, long time and say hello. And we're hoping to have them back over here next year as a couple and as a family. And they have two wonderful children. They want to say hi. We also jumped across to Singapore for 36 hours. I just want to let you know that's a really stupid idea. Don't do it. Top tip. Not really to do with Christianity. If you're going to go to Singapore, go longer. It's just not enough time. We flew in, did some stuff, slept, did some stuff, and left. And we were exhausted. So that didn't work. Anyway, for those of you who know, what's Singapore famous for? Well, the airport. Yeah, and apart from the airport, which is very cool, granted. The what? The food. It's got a very famous building. The building? I need to go and have a look at the building. Yes, the boat. Tabitha's got it. The boat. We went to the top of the boat on top of the three big tower things and look at the sunset. It is famous, but not that famous, obviously. Anyway, so we were there for almost a week and then we flew off to Sydney to visit our son and daughter-in-law, Jonathan and Iona, and we were in Australia for just short of 3 weeks. We popped up to the Gold Coast, which is an hour and a bit in a plane, and hung out in Surfers Paradise. It was really tough. It was very hard work. It was 24, 26. The ocean was nice, but it was tough. Popped in to see, do you guys remember Andrew and Lee's Cherry? Yeah. So their home church is in, it's not in Surfers Paradise, it's kind of just out, but it's around there. So we went to visit their senior pastors, a couple called Joel and Elaine Cave, and we popped in unannounced. Anyway, they looked after us superbly well, so we met their senior pastors, and they actually gathered their whole eldership around us at the end of the service and prayed for us. And they videoed that prayer and prophecy time, and so again, it's too much information for you, but they prayed some amazing things over us and over us as a church, which we will share in the weeks and months to come. And hopefully we'll meet some of those up in a few weeks. There's a group coming from Glow Church and Gold Coast. They're coming across into the UK. So I'm going to try and meet up with them when they come. That was very cool. Obviously, we went to Hillsong Church when we went back to Sydney. Jonathan and Iona's pastors are called Tom and Angela Bartley, and a really amazing couple. Jonathan and Iona, first years at Hillsong College, don't preach, don't lead services, they've really kind of blessed both Jonathan and Iona. They've been preaching and leading services and leading ministries, and it's been great for them. Tom particularly wants to say hi. Next time he's in the UK, he's going to come and visit us and say hi. He's a man in his early 60s, he's been part of church. He travels the world advising and helping different churches grow. And we had two or three meetings with him, just really great times. Jonathan wants to say hello, and Iona, they'll be back for the... Not everybody knows them, do they, anymore? Because they've kind of been away for so long. But they will be back at the end of November. And then they'll probably go off to South Africa for 3 months after Christmas. Much to Amanda's consternation. Because she's missing Iona, aren't you? Yeah, where's Carl? Carl's not missing them, are you, Carl? Stop taking pictures. Anyway, that was. We also saw some of the Hillsong staff, and Pastor Lee Burns, who some of you do personally know, says hello and says they're praying for us and believe in what we're doing. Then after that, we went home for a few weeks, and I got very efficient with a chainsaw. I know, I'm lethal with a chainsaw now. For those of you who've been here long enough, you know that I've done it on stage. You also know I'm not so good with the angle grinder. If you haven't seen the pictures of the angle grinder incident, don't. No. Did we remove them all from the internet? We never put them on. There we go. Anyway, another story. I'll have to follow it up if you're new. So we stayed home. And then Abigail and myself and Izzy and Josh and Melissa, we've just been to South Africa to the Liberty Conference, and we managed to miss our flight on Monday, got cancelled. And then we left on Tuesday rather than the Monday, went via Cairo, of all places, almost missed our connection and lost our luggage. The plus side is, look, I've got some new clothes. And for those of you who know anything about trainers, can you show the trainers on the thing? There you go, see, this is a big head. Is that yours? You've not got a big head. Trainers. I've already been complimented by some of the young people. So I'm feeling cool and trendy. And conference was amazing, and DJ and Karen say hi. They'll be back over in November for a reason which I'll let you know on in a bit as well. But we'd lost the luggage, so we had 48 hours without any. I've never been so glad to see a suitcase. You know, so we were sat in this last lost luggage office, me and Abigail, waiting, hoping desperately this woman who'd gone off to try and find them would bring them back. She came back through the door with a trolley stacked with 5 suitcases. I got up, so excited. Her face looked worried. And I went across and I went, oh, thank you so much. And I gave her a hug. No, they were our suitcases. But see, I kind of asked them, afterwards, why did she look so worried? And they said, most passengers are really cross with us. And I went, yeah, I'm not. I'm overjoyed. We have our bags back. So it was amazing. Anyway, that's roughly what we did. So that's the question to answer number one. Okay, right, question number two, the more serious spiritual one. People then often ask, what did God say? What did God say? Now, I have not got the time this morning to unpack everything that I feel God has been speaking to me about, encouraging me with. Some of it's personal, so I will never share it with you anyway. But some of the things that God's been sharing to me about church. And so I'll try and give you one or two this morning. And you can always come and ask some of the ones. For those of you who know well, you can come and ask the personal ones. I will try my best to share some. But the main thing that God's been, I think, saying to me for us as a church is that we need to get back to the basics of building church. It's been a weird few years, right? It's just been strange, what with COVID and coming back and getting used to things, and even things like our governments like come and go, don't they? It's just been a weird kind of season, and it's impacted church life. It's impacted us. We've grown over the last few years, and it feels different. You know, even us oldies who've been coming for 16 years, we go to places and we don't know people, right? And that kind of one intimate family has gone. But we're still one family doing one thing, united in the cause that Christ has given us. And as long as we remember that and keep a hold of that, we'll be fine. But God was saying, you need to go back to basics. I'm going to read a few verses of which I believe are fundamental for any church if they're going to successfully do what God has wanted them. Matthew 22 verse 37 says the following. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That means everything. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus kind of instructs what his new movement, it wasn't named church yet, it was still just a movement, a carry on from which he says this to them. He says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go and make disciples. baptize them, teach them, disciple them to be great followers of me. And Acts 1 verse 8 gives us the scope of where Jesus intended us to love him and to serve him and serve the world and to make disciples. Acts 1:8 says this. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, at home, in Judea, people who are close, Samaria, the kind of locality that's a bit bigger, even to the ends of the earth." And these three passages, I think, really define any church, what they're supposed to do. And we've summarized it like this. Again, the olders in here will have heard this before. For some of you, won't. And we've put together what we call a purpose statement, the five purposes of a local church. I'm going to remind you of them this morning. I'll read it out, then I'll go back and do sentence by sentence. To reach a new generation for Christ and connect them with other Christians. To help them grow in their faith and empower them to discover their ministries and worship God with every heartbeat and every breath. We are called as a body of people together, individually and jointly, to reach the world for Jesus. The world is broken. Actually, none of us need convincing it's broken, right? We know it's broken. We see its brokenness everywhere. The world sees its brokenness everywhere. They're only convincing the world's broken. There's something not quite right. Everybody knows it. Some people want to try and deny that it's really there, or there's a response to it or a solution to it. But everybody knows it's broken. It's part of a broken world. And God saw a broken world. He knew we caused it because we just do wrong stuff. The Bible calls it sin, but we just do. Each one of us does. Some of us every day, all of us every week. Say the wrong thing, we think the wrong thing, we just do. The world is broken. But the solution's Jesus. Jesus came, he was God's son, he lived a life, and he loved us enough to say, look, you're broken, you're sinful, you're in trouble, I can go to the cross, I will take the punishment and the results of your sin on my shoulders so that you can be healed and restored, so that you can have a relationship with God and begin to figure things out. It's not like we become Christians and become perfect. It would be kind of nice, right? Jesus, done. I'm now perfect Ed. That'd be cool, right? But it doesn't. We have to work the process out. The Bible talks about, in God's eyes, we become perfect immediately. You don't need to worry about anything. You've got access to God and his power and his resources. Why? Because God sees you through Jesus. You're perfect. And if you ever feel dirty or unclean, you need to go back to Jesus and say, look, help me see me as God sees me now, and live in that. And we need to tell people about Jesus. Be Christians that people can see Jesus in us, even if we don't tell them. But we have to tell them. If we don't tell them the gospel, they'll never know. Some people say, we need to tell people about Jesus. No, we need to. What's a famous... Yeah, preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Words aren't super necessary in my book. Yes, sure, be a great example, but you have to tell them. You have to tell them that there is a solution to the pain they feel. There is a solution to death. There is a solution to these things. There just is. I took a funeral before I went away to an old man called Tommy Hardman, and he gave me instructions for his funeral. And he gave me a list, actually, of things I had to say from the pulpit, which kind of made my kind of talk easier. And in it, he said, tell the people, my family, my friends, those who come, that they need a savior. His name is Jesus. And he said, at the end, give an appeal. Make sure people have a chance to respond. And church, we need to take that on ourselves, right? Yes, you'll bring them to church so they can hear the gospel and so they can respond here. But there'll be times and moments where you are called to reach them personally or with your friends around you, because they can receive Jesus then. You don't need to wait to come to a spiritual meeting. You are the representative of Christ. You are the ambassadors. And we're called to reach. And I think God's saying, look, we need to remember that. Maybe some of us have grown cold. I know some of you haven't. You're still passionate. But it's so easy, isn't it? Life gets busy and kind of restricts us and we don't think about it, but we're called to reach. Then we're called to connect each other into the body. We're not We can't just believe. We actually have to do something about it. I've met some Christians say, well, I believe in Jesus and all that kind of stuff, but church, I don't want to go to church. You can't be a Christian and not go to church. You can't do it because the Bible calls you to serve each other. All right, well, if the Bible calls you to serve each other, by definition, you have to be there to serve them. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that each of us are gifted and skilled, both naturally and supernaturally. We need to give it. So we need to connect each other in. We're a body, and we're supposed to do life together. You know, Dave was saying, wasn't he, in the prayer time, there's somebody saying, you know, please help me. I've got debt problems. Yeah, you have, but you have a whole family. Whole family. You have some, I mean, Jason's a financial expert. He looks after our CAP course and stuff. If you need some help, I want to say, go to Jason. He's super confidential. He will help you. He'll point in the right place. If he can't solve things, he'll find some people who can solve things for you. And all of this, in any and every situation in our life, wherever we are, in any of the congregations, you know, we have people who can help. Let's not be such a proud race that we don't, one, give ourselves into the church, into the body, but also that we don't ask for help within the body. Asking for help early, as Jason would tell you, if you say, come soon. You know, if you get into debts of £2,000, come. We can kind of get that sorted. By the time it gets to 20 or 200,000, it's just so much harder to figure out. It's the same in anything in our lives. Even, you know, as guys who are married, if you need some help in marriage, you could get it. You could get it. One thing my father used to say when I, in the other days of being a pastor, he said, Ed, if any married couple ever come to you, he said, it's probably all too late for them. I said, we've counseled so many couples over the years, and it's always, they always come so late. They feel as Christians you should sort it out, you know, because we should, right? Because we're good, and we have God. We have a family. Go find some Christian couples to help you if you get to struggle. Do it early. Do it kind of when it's beginning. Get some, but in every area of our life. So we need to connect, we need to reach them, we need to connect. We also need to help each other grow in the faith. Grow, yes, to be like Jesus, to be holy, to do what he would want us to do. And I really, you know, for all of us, that's why we have discipleship groups, that we may learn and grow. Then we need to empower each other to discover our ministries. Each one of us is gifted and skilled, both naturally and supernaturally. Every single person that calls Valley home who loves Jesus should be doing something. Something. It will depend on time available, I know. And it will depend on your skill sets and, you know, your character. You know, if you're really miserable, please don't join the welcome team. You know, if you can't sing, please don't join the worship team. You know, there's certain things that you need to be. But everybody has a role. Everybody has something to do. And it's our joy, or should be our joy, to serve each other and give our gifts to each other. I was just reading a book while I was away in this church, massive church. And they had thousands coming. But they only had 15% of their attendees serving. 15%. I went, that's really low. Really low. If you love Jesus, do something. Young Samuel, who was on the door, he sat at the back, didn't know who I was. Great welcome, my friend. He's calm. He's only been here a few weeks. And he said, I want to do something. I want to do something. That is the attitude of a man who loves God already, who understands in his heart that he can't like preach or anything. We wouldn't trust him. We only know him like two ticks. But he can do something. And I want to encourage you. This is basic Christianity, to do something. If you love Jesus, this is your home. Do something. Whichever congregation you're pointed with, do something. Join a team. Use your gifts and skills. And then finally, the fifth purpose of a church is to worship God. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. To make him the number one thing in our life. To come to him first thing every morning and say, God, today's yours and I want to worship you today. And everything I do, when I'm out kicking a football, when I'm washing the dishes, when I'm at work, when I'm looking after the kids, whatever I'm doing, today is a day I'm going to worship you. And every single thing we do, can we can do to honor and glorify God in it. Everything. And that's worship. Yes, we come to worship services and we worship here and that's good. But actually the Bible calls us, basic level Christianity, is to worship God in everything
we do. And we need to help each other do that with every heartbeat and every breath in our life. God, I will worship you. I will honor you. I'll put you first in my life. If all the other things I do, God, you are first. You're my first thoughts when I wake up. You'll be my first thought when I go to sleep. Because why? Because you are the most important thing in my life. And I suspect in due course I'll do a bit longer on each one of those, but that's something that God's been saying to me, that the church needs to get back to basics. And then the other one, which is a bit more personal, but one I'll share with you so you kind of feel where I am a little bit more. Sometimes we do life, it's busy, right? And then we want to serve Jesus and we do stuff for Jesus and we have family responsibilities, you know, and responsibility gets added onto responsibility and they're all good and they're all proper and there's nothing wrong with anything. But in the end of it, does anybody get a bit stressed? Is it just me and a bit tired? Some of you are too young yet, are you? You don't know what stress and stuff. But for us oldies in the house, we've been around the block a few times. And God was trying to say, look, working hard is great. Don't stop it. You know, following me with everything you have is great. Don't stop it. But stop stressing. I have it. And for me, I need to hear that. But as I was preparing this, perhaps some of you need to hear that as well. Yeah. Work hard. Serve Jesus well. Do your jobs well. Do be good mums and dads, grandparents. And work hard, but don't stress. Don't stress. Paul says, doesn't he, in Philippians 4, verse 11 and onwards, he says, look, I have learned contentment in every situation, whether I'm full, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm free, whether I'm in jail, whether my back's okay or whether I'm getting flogged, whether I'm floating on the sea or whether I'm drowning in the sea, I have found contentment. Why? Because God's got me and it's going to be okay. Romans 8. And the right Romans says, we know that in Romans 8, 28, for we know in all things that God works the good of those who love him. Romans 8, 37, I'll read this. This is one that I've been reading over a few times. It's a famous passage, but oh man, we need to apply it every single day of our lives. Romans 8, verse 37 says this. It says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, not maybe, not possibly. Paul writes, I am convinced. This is a rock solid truth I'm based on. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God has got it. And I need to, if you ever see me stressed and tired, you have my permission, whoever you are, however, whatever position, however well you know me or not, you can tap me on the shoulder and say, look, God's got it. God's got you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be stressed. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And these two things, among many, God has been speaking me to about personally. Ready for question three? Trustees often ask this one. Go, is anything going to change? Are you going to change anything? Well, probably. But I usually do change slowly. I only have maybe a couple of things to kind of encourage on change. It would be really fun, guys, if we were a bit more fun. Some of you are far too serious in your life. The Bible says something about having the joy of the Lord in our hearts, right? It says that, doesn't it? Yeah. Some of you probably need to show it a little bit more, right? Okay. You need to have a little bit more fun. As you know, I'm a great believer in practical jokes. Some of you think it's bad. It's not. It's from the Lord. I'm pretty sure Jesus had a few practical jokes up his sleeve. Unfortunately, the gospel writers didn't mention any of them. But I'm sure he did. I'm sure he was a fun guy to walk about. Remember, the heaven is our home. And even in earth difficulties, heaven is still our home. Right? You know, yes, we sometimes run out of money or we run out of time or energy or patience. But heaven's resources are endless. fix your eyes on those and smile and say, it's going to be okay. God's got me. I need to have some fun. A church should be the happiest place in the world. Every person that meets a Christian should meet somebody. Even if life's tough, somehow there's a spark of life inside them because the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord is still residing in there despite circumstances. Now, it doesn't always make it easy. Remember, Jesus did sweat drops of blood, right? And God, I'm not saying life's always going to be good and you're going to go like, wow, this is amazing, you know. But even in the midst of it, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Even in that moment, he had a joy. The joy drove him to do what he knew he was going to do. Why? Because he knew that you and me would find him and spend eternity with him. That's amazing. I want to encourage you. Let's have some more joy. Let's have some more fun. Let's have some more of Jason Street's bad jokes. Let's have some more John Norman's spraying water everywhere. That was really funny. You need to have a look at that at some point anyway. But I want to encourage the joy of the Lord. Let it be more of a mark of our church, right? I know I'm having some fun with you here, but I think let's change that. Let's change that. Every single person comes in, let's give them a warm welcome, a big smile. I bet they go, man, I feel uplifted and more joyful because I've been part of Valley Church, right? Let's do that. And then the final thing, I mentioned now, because, it's kind of public. And DJ's lovely, isn't he? He's amazing, is DJ. So over this last 18 months, Michelle and I and DJ and Karen have been musing and dreaming about maybe some things. And we were at the conference, and Melissa and Izzy and Josh were there, and Abigail. And I met with DJ and Karen on the Friday afternoon, the conference started on Friday night, and we chatted about this thing that we've been talking about for a while, and we kind of discussed the things that DJ might talk about and things that he might not talk about. And he kind of proposed a plan, and we all agreed DJ's plan. Unfortunately, on the Saturday afternoon when DJ spoke, he ignored the plan and told his entire church about some of the dreams and thoughts that we were having, and, well, he did it all. Now, I've already discussed it with the trustees, so it's fine. There's nothing new, so the trustees don't need to worry, so it's all fine. We've been chatting about doing some church planting, church plants together around the world, and forming a group, a relaxed group, a friendship kind of group. We are now going to call it the Freedom Network, because it has been announced. And us and Liberty, and maybe other churches like-minded, over the next years, are going to try and plant brand new churches in the UK, in Europe, in America, in Africa, and whether else we want to. And part of the Heart for the House coming up in a few weeks' time will go towards that project. It's still early days, but DJ told his congregation, so I'm going to tell you that we're already exploring some options in America, in Florida. Everybody needs reaching for Jesus. And this is DJ's choice, not mine. Anyway, and so over the next 18 months or 2 years, we do hope to have established a couple of church plants on a joint basis from both churches. There's a lot more detail I want to share with you, but I am very excited about not just for what it will do for us as a church to fulfill the Acts 1:8 mandate to do Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth in a way that we can cope with financially and people-wise, right? I mean, from a British point of view, 400 people in a church is a big church. I know we're in different congregations, but that's how big we are. But actually, from a church planting point of view, oh, not that big, right? So we're going to do it together. I pray that over the coming years, that each and every one of you who sat here and makes this your home will in the end go to one of our church plants around the world and go and serve for a week or two. Obviously, going to Florida, you might serve for a week and go on holiday for a week. It's going to be a really tough call. We'll try and find some more horrible places for you to go. Then you can feel like you're proper missionaries, right? Rather than just, well, this is kind of a nice... But, you know, every country in the world needs new churches and people finding for Jesus. So one of the things that will change, we'll have a slightly different focus. We still want to plant new extension services around here in due course. But we'll also have our eyes just up a little bit going, God has called us along with all the rest of the churches, the entire world, to not just think locally, but actually to think globally as well. And hopefully we'll be able to do this in a way that really works for us and is exciting. Well, I'm going to get Dave up and the other MCs up in a second to give people a chance to respond to the gospel. But I just want to finish with one final thought. This is my conclusion. Church, I have come back with a passion to see people one for God. Okay. This is why we started Valley Church, that those who don't know him would have a chance to find him. And I want to call us to do that with all our heart, with all our soul, that we may see hundreds, thousands in the next 5 years, one for Jesus here in Lancaster, North Preston, other extension services, different places around the world, because God is flowing in us and through us, and we have given ourselves to that task. So I'll just pray, and then I'll hand back to the MCs. Father, I thank you that you are here. And Father, I thank you that you have a passion for us. Father, I pray that you would instill on us a passion for the lost, those who are far from you, but could come close to you. Father, I pray for each one of us, God, that you may help us identify those that we are supposed to be amazing Christians to bring the joy of the Lord into their world. And then, Father, when we get a chance, God, that you may use us to, even through our broken, disjointed words, Father, they may understand the truth of the gospel. And Father, your Spirit may work through us, both in that moment or when we ask people to church. Father, they may find and discover that you are their King and Lord, and they may freely give themselves to you. Father, pray, help us understand each one of us can do it. Each one of us is called to do it, and that we have a family behind us helping us to do it, which means that we are never alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.